when I was young, I always thought that I would adopt a child. I can remember my mother reminding me of that whenever we did decide to adopt. She says, remember when you wanted to adopt a child? And I think China resonated with me, and I'm not sure exactly why. I think my father, he was always in the military, and he had spent some time not in China, but in Japan and in Korea. And I remember that being important. And so I thought a lot about it, but whenever Brad and I got married, we both were kind of older and set in our ways, I suppose, and weren't sure when we would have children, but I knew that I was, if we were going to, it should be quick, because I was not getting any younger, and we tried, and, you know, kind of thought about it a little bit, and it didn't work like we thought that it would, or as quickly as it did, and so we began to really think about adoption. And so I think, you know, and we kind of researched it. He researched a lot, but it wasn't a hard decision to go with China. I mean, we looked domestically and kind of saw all the things that you had to do, which a lot of times involved what we considered a performance of putting things together and making it look great. And then China just seemed like good on so many, that it seems real straightforward. And I think that's how we kind of came to that decision. And we thought that it would be quick. I think that played in our mind too.
Yeah. So what did you know about it? Like, what did you know about China? What did you know about, what did it matter to you that the likelihood of birth parents emerging at any point was probably pretty slim? Did you think about any of that?
No, you know, it's kind of funny. We didn't think a lot about it, really, because I didn't really have strong feelings that I didn't want there to be. You know, I think some people think, well, I don't want to do it domestically or have an open adoption because I don't want to have that extra burden to have to deal with. I didn't think about that. That didn't seem like a problem to me, because in my feeling was that if this is somebody's child, they should get to know about this child. You know, the shared love and desire for this child should be an okay thing for everyone to participate in. So that didn't seem as important to me. I think, and it's funny, it's almost in reverse in retrospect. I think now it sometimes makes me sad that the likelihood of my child knowing her biological parents is slim, is almost more heartbreaking to me than maybe the reverse is to some other people, knowing that they would have to keep someone involved. The likelihood that Audrey has a sibling out there is, I think, great. And I think that it would be strange to think that you could go through the rest of your life and never have a connection to an actual sibling. And so I think that sometimes burdens me. I don't know that it burdens her, at least not at this point. I think someday it could.
Does she ask about it?
You know, well, she'll talk about it. She would like to have a sibling. She would like to have a brother or sister. But I don't think she imagines the concept or the possibility that she really probably has some. She kind of understands the fact that maybe in China, you know, we'll talk vaguely about that there's laws, or there was, that prevented people from having lots of children, and that it was difficult, and they often gave up girl children. I think that is heartbreaking to her. She'll cry about that sometimes. Mm. The thought of that, she doesn't, you know, get the politics of it. But I don't think she really thinks, well, do I have, you know, she's not really imagined, do I have a brother or sister out there?
So it's something that, it's not something you feel strongly enough that you'd go marching off on a birth parent search necessarily, but that you are definitely open to the possibility that she would have more information.
Yes, yes. Yes, exactly, because I've thought about it, and obviously I've not done anything about it. I've not attempted to, and my only fear is that I'll wait too long whenever it becomes more and more difficult, or where there's no one at her, you know, SWI that even has a recollection of her, or where, you know, maybe records don't exist, if they even do exist right now. I worry that time is important. And if I'm going to, for her, that I should do it now, because I think she's at the point where it's not important to her today, but will it be when she's 18 or 20 or 25? You know, will she wish that I had tried when there was time to still try? So I think about that, and I think that if there is that, you know, possibility, that I should do it on her behalf and then let her decide if she wants that information or not.
So is that something that you're starting to kind of, are you actively?
I'm not doing enough. Yeah. You know, because I think, you know, you allow everything else that you have going on to get in the way of you doing it, because it's difficult. And I think that you look at it as being a difficulty, and your life's pretty good and you're happy and she's happy, and so it doesn't seem as important. But every once in a while, Brad and I'll have a discussion and we'll talk about it, and I'll think, you know, should we have her DNA tested? Should we you know, kind of pursue something a little bit. And I'll Google things all the time. I'll kind of look at things and think about it. And then I'll think, well, what could I do? What could I do?
Mm-hmm. It seems like a big,
it seems like a big undertaking. Mm-hmm. And so you wonder if it's, if you should do it and, you know, and where do you start? And then I think I also get kind of dubious about the whole thing. I think, you know, are you going to get real information? And so I worry about that a little bit, just thinking, well, you'll pursue all this stuff and will you get some information, but is that information honest? Is it real or is it not? And so now have you created this false sense of hope about something, you know, because I think you do, you see the stories and you read the few little smatterings of stories out there and they seem like this, you know, gosh, what a neat, wonderful thing. And everyone was happy to meet each other and happy to see each other and, or, you know, but then you don't read about the thousands of others that don't exist, or maybe we're not as tied up in a bow. Because I'm sure there's some moments in which, you know, you get the information and that's great, but it's not. And I think that'd be okay too. What I would hope is that if the information was available, it's not about finding this parent and developing a relationship with them and it being something beautiful and heartwarming. It's more of the knowledge becomes a part of you, mm-hmm. a part of your identity. And I would think, just from my own perspective, it's nice to know something about your family.
How do you feel about the lack of transparency? How did you initially feel about it? Did you wonder to yourself, well, why isn't it more transparent? Why is it so difficult? Or not? Did you just assume,
you know,
like that's
the
system?
I didn't question it a lot in the beginning. I think part of it is the, you know, the process is so consuming that that's all I was concerned about. And that's all, you know, Brad and I really ever talked about is I didn't really think about much beyond just this process of getting the child and the joy. And then I think you're surrounded by people who admire you, they relish the stories, they're sentimental about it. There are a lot of things that maybe you're really not in a lot of ways because you're trying to just make a family. It's not about doing something good. It's not about, you know, all the things I think people kind of want to characterize your adoption process to be. And so I didn't really question, well, gosh, I don't know about this. People would, though. People would say, well, do you know anything about her family? Do you know, you know, where are her parents? And, you know, and then I think they were shocked when you would tell them without much, I mean, at least for me, it wasn't without much judgment. I would just say, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And, you know, I think people were just like shocked that you would accept that.
Have you ever wondered about whether Audrey was legitimately abandoned?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, you think, oh, absolutely. And I think that's what kind of, you know, it makes you question things even more is that you hear the stories about children being, you know, practically sold, I guess you could call it, and then you wonder if that is your child's origins. And I think, that's tough to kind of think about. It's tough to process and to want to believe that it's still okay for you to be their parent, but maybe that parent that gave them up didn't want to give them up. And so that's tough too. Because in a weird kind of way, from an impartial perspective, if that was the case, that would be really hard for me. Because I would want that parent to want to have that child too. And you can't both have the child. But
right.
It would be hard for me because I would think, you know, I know how much I love her. Someone else loves her too.
What would you do? What would you do?
I don't know. I mean, I think I would want her to know that, you know? How would you not want someone else to have what I have, you know? And I think it's really funny. It would be really selfish, I think, not to, you know, want to share that child. But, you know, it's tough because I think all you know is your own feelings, your own perspective. But I can only imagine that if that were the case, that they would feel like I do, you know. And I think, I don't know. I mean, I think I would want them to know her somehow.
To forge some kind
to
of
form,
way
to forge
in
something.
Which,
that's
yeah.
True. You know, and it's interesting. Again, I think, you know, it's having an only child. And again, having waited longer in life to have a child, I share my child with a lot of people. My parents help me a lot. I have a best friend who helps me all the time. And you really do, you know, I think, you know, I share this child because I can. And because it does take a lot of people to raise your child right. And so it would be okay if you needed to share your child to allow someone else to, you know, help make this child what you really want, which is someone who can be independent someday and who, you know, can be resourceful and who can grow up in the right way. And so it's not really that she's mine. I have responsibility to help her be all that she can be. And I really, you know, that's become more apparent in my life. Just, I think, just as she's grown, I just think, you know, I'm responsible for her. And I love her so much, but it's not about her being mine. It's about me helping. I've been given this responsibility, and I love it. But, you know, we can't own who they are or own them in any way. And I think that's, I always am bothered a little bit by people who want to say how wonderful it is what you've done, because I don't look at it as something that I've done. You know, I'm just being a parent like everyone else is who is a parent. And so I don't want to be looked at as this is something special that you chose to do today, you know, to take on, and what a wonderful thing. You know, and I think that's an interesting thing that I don't know why people like to say that. I don't know if that's just and I don't want to criticize people's, you know, people can say whatever they want. I don't want to sound like that you're not appreciative of other people's perspectives, but it's interesting that people want to always say, that's so wonderful that you did that. Because I think that also passes this judgment on other people in other countries that, you know, that how is it that we are better to come in and raise a child than someone else? And I don't think that's what any kind of adoption is about.